Hello and welcome to this first episode of What's Been Done and What's Been Won. My name is Bob Ostertag. I'm your host. I write books, I write music, I make movies. But if you've stumbled upon this podcast, you probably know a good bit about me already. What I really want to do is introduce you to my collaborator here, Maureen D. Taylor from Detroit, Michigan. Maureen is the state chair of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization. She has decades of experience as an organizer and a community activist in Detroit. I first met Maureen at the Blue Mountain Center, which is a retreat center in upstate New York. And the retreat we were at was designed in particular to give artists and activists the chance to mingle. In particular, urban activists who had been working in the trenches for many years without a break. And their participation in the retreat was underwritten by the Wincall Institute with the hope that they would get some time to collect their thoughts, take a breath, and have some peace and quiet.
Well, I tell you what recollections I have. I'm a city kid, and I'm born and raised in Detroit, so I'm familiar with cars, automobile factories, bright clothes. Your hair is always beautiful and whipped up and fly. Dances, good times. So I was familiar with that. So by the time I arrived, 3 hours north of Albany, New York, and invited because I was in fact an activist, and activists were asked to come and just sort of settle down and get your thoughts together and kind of relax. I had been invited before, but I thought, no, I'm not going. I don't know what that is. And I finally agreed. And the very first thing I noticed, even before I had laid eyes on you, was here I am out in the woods. It took 2, 3, 4 days for me to try to figure out how I could sleep at night, because I was so afraid of the surroundings and I kept hearing this noise at night. And I finally figured it out. The noise was the sound of silence. And I had never heard a period of time at night where you didn't hear sirens. You didn't hear the fire department. You didn't hear trucks wheezing by. You didn't hear all these things. And where we were at night, when the lights went out and people actually went to bed, it was quiet. And that just, oh my God, what is that noise? And I had never heard the sound of silence. My goodness, it stands to this day one of the moments that helped create a calm in my heart. This was a totally new experience for me. I had never been to anything like this. I encountered my first moose. It scared me to death. Lord, on TV, Bullwinkle and Rocky, they look cute. But that doggone moose is from its toes to the tip of its chin is 9 feet. My goodness, what a memory.
Sometime later, I was in Detroit to do a concert at a wonderful venue in Detroit called Trinisof, and I invited Maureen, and she came, and it was just lovely to have her at the show. A few days later, she invited me to an event that she was organizing with some of her colleagues. And I went to the event, and I come to find out that Maureen is distributing a review at the event that she had written of my concert. At the end of the review, she wrote, "Ostertag is a non-traditional, passionate, world-class gift. As his travels take him far from us, we anoint him as Ambassador Ostertag. We charge him with the task of telling working people he meets along the way this message from the grassroots. Detroit is not dead, and yes, we do mind dying. The spirit of resistance lives. And she ended the event appointing me as her ambassador. And I can't say that I've ever felt more honored by anything in my life. And this podcast is part of my effort to tell the working people I meet along the way the message that Maureen brings from Detroit. Maureen and I are going to be talking about the politics of the day. You're going to learn a little bit more about her life. And then I'll be having other guests. And then Maureen and I will share our thoughts about what the other guests had to say. Maureen, why don't we just launch in here? And can you tell me what it's like to be poor in Detroit during the COVID pandemic?
What is it like to be poor during COVID? Feels the same to be poor with COVID in Detroit or in Michigan as it feels to be poor and low income in Arizona. As it feels the same way to be poor and low income in all of these cities and states where people found themselves in lines of cars that stretched for hours trying to get a food basket. That's what it means. Your situation is so stark that you got up and went and got in line at 3 a.m. to wait for food. And when you got in that line at 3 a.m., there were already 500 cars in front of you. The giveaway didn't start until 10 o'clock, but you were in line at 3 and you were still number 500. That's the truth of what poverty is in this country. That's the truth of what poverty is when you're involved with COVID and you just suffer more. It's horrible. People don't know about it, but that's what it's like, Mr. Ambassador. It's just that stark.
I'm speaking from San Francisco, which, of course, is one of the wealthiest cities in the United States. Mark Zuckerberg now lives about 6 blocks away from me. And 6 blocks the other direction, we are having food giveaways here where we're passing out, I think, 7,000 food boxes per week. So, and that is 12 blocks from the house of one of the richest. What's the COVID toll been like in your community?
A couple of weeks ago, somebody came up with a memorial idea. There was a display of the Just Detroiters that have passed away with the virus. And if my memory serves me correctly, 1,506, 1506, and pictures were blown up and they were all in a line. And there was an invitation to come and get in this line again in the car. And I went there the second day and I was only able to stay in that line maybe 10, 12 minutes. I couldn't keep looking. I have relatives that have passed. A couple of them, Miss Vera. And I have a couple of relatives that passed. But Mr. Ambassador, what threw me off, I started to recognize people that I had known for 10 to 12 years that had passed away and I didn't know it. And when I looked, oh, there's Mr. Oliver. Oh, my goodness. And then you drive a little further, there's the next picture and the next picture. And my eyes just filled up with tears. And I got out of the line. And I thought, let me just drive around with all of my windows down so that the air from outside could help dry my tears. We've had to send at least 7,000 Michiganders back. That's how I say it. We had to send them back. So we are hard hit. We're in better shape than a whole lot of folks because the governor was quite adamant about trying to keep these numbers down. But none of us are not connected to someone, either directly or indirectly, that we have lost to the COVID virus.
Now, I understand that the governor has appointed you to a commission that deals with the pandemic. Can you tell us about that?
I was asked to serve on what's called the Governor's Corona/Pandemic Task Force. African Americans only represent about 14% of the population across the state, but African Americans represent more than 40% of those who are infected by the disease and those that pass away. Right up there with Hispanics, right up there with Native Americans. And, you know, that just even beyond just being poor, those numbers are stark. And our task is to review and to try to find ways to bring those numbers down. Sometimes people ask me to be involved with this commission or that task force. Or, you know, when you said to me, Maureen, we're going to do this podcast, I thought, you know, are you sure? I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to tell it in such a way that you won't forget that I said it. And so when that came up, will you serve? I made it clear. Are you sure that you want me to be involved in this? Because I'm going to go to welfare offices. I'm going to go to where poor people of color are, and I'm going to report, and I'm going to challenge. That's pretty much the way I live. If you want me to be involved, you better be sure, because I'm going to say some things that you may not want to hear, but that comes with the package of Maureen. The cost of living is going up while the chances of living are going down. And in order to punish people and limit welfare benefits and cut off and cut down unemployment weeks of eligibility, you have to denigrate people. And you have to talk about that stupid, fat, greasy, dark welfare mother. And you have to point to that and say, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. And you have to say that over and over again. And people might start to believe, as they often do, that the problem is not poverty in America, it's poor people in America. We're not trying to get rid of poverty. We need to get rid of poor people. And it looks like, correct me if I'm wrong, Ambassador Ostertag, it looks like that's what's going on. The COVID has showed up. You got all these poor and low-income people. Every now and then, somebody with wealth will catch COVID, and they might pass away. But 95% of all these folks that are passing away with COVID are low-income, low-wealth individuals. You know, women that work in the hospital, they're nurses and don't have health care insurance, insane, and taking care of people without the proper equipment, and go home and lay down on their bed, and then 2-3 days later, they don't show up for work, and somebody does a welfare check, and Nurse Smith, they found her on her couch, and she had died. We have medical teams, including nurses in Detroit, that do not have health coverage. I've got relatives that work at some of the finest Trauma One centers in this country and do not have health care. When they get sick, they have to make an appointment someplace else, not at the job where they work. And I'll tell you one other little story. When this thing first started, you can't go get a haircut, and you can't go to the bowling alley, and you can't go to the movie house. And what happened was a rural folks, and we're talking about individuals, mostly men, came down to Lansing, to the state capitol, with their assault rifles. We're talking about individuals that went into the Capitol house screaming at security guards and state police officers or whatnot in that building with their guns, and they didn't want to wear a mask, and they didn't want to do social distancing. I live in a urban center. I live in Detroit. I'm used to going downtown to a beauty opera. I'm used to going to movies and to dinner dates and all of those kinds of things that are urban and are familiar to me. People think everybody in Detroit, or where there are predominantly Black communities, we've got a narrow existence. But I can tell you, I'm a Detroiter. I'm an urban girl. And I'm familiar with the things that I just talked about. You know, living in an urban area, you have thieves and you have folks that are involved with drugs and all this kind of stuff because I live in a big city. But I was never afraid. But when I watched that, and that's when I'm tearing up now. I was afraid. I was at home in my house. And I looked at that and I thought, these are folks that would hunt me only because my skin and my hair, you know, I got, you know, my hairstyle is fine. My hairstyle look good all the time. And they wouldn't see that. They wouldn't see my physical beauty, my ability to speak the king's language. They wouldn't see that. I'm a human being. I'm a girl. I've been a girl most of my life. And that frightened me because I understood what that meant. I think anybody and everybody across this country, certainly in Michigan, certainly in Wayne County, if you happen to be a person that looks like you're a person of color, with this rage that seems to be going on on the other side, you're very wary of your surroundings. And these are new feelings because I was never wary or afraid of my surroundings until I saw that. That's what it's like to be an African-American woman in this country, in Michigan, right now. It's scary, scary times. Boy, it bums me out to just say it, you know?
I want to mention before we end that our next episode, Maureen and I will be talking about water and utility shutoffs in Detroit. And we're going to be talking about an incredible victory that Maureen and her comrades in Detroit recently won. And that goes to the title of the show, What's Been Done and What's Been Won. The backstory about that is that I was trying to think of a title for this podcast. And I remember when I was a kid, I had a record, and this was way back in the 60s, and the title of the record was What's Been Did and What's Been Hid. And I thought, now that's maybe that's the title. And I suggested to Maureen, I said, what do you think of this? What's been did and what's been hid? And Maureen immediately hit me back and she said, how about this? What's been done and what's been won? And I thought, well, this is why we want Maureen's voice to be heard louder, because Maureen doesn't have time to be making clever points if they're not moving things forward, if they're not going to result in a win, something concrete.
That's right.
That somebody has in their hands that they can eat better than they could eat before, they could sleep in a better place than they could sleep before. And so I thank you, Maureen, for the title of our show, What's Been Done and What's Been Won. We'll come back next time and we're going to talk about this incredible victory you recently had. And for anybody who thinks that you can't win anything in the time of Trump, or you can't win anything in the middle of this COVID pandemic, Maureen is going to set you straight on that.
That's right. From your lips to God's ears. That's right.
All righty, Maureen. Thank you so much. We'll talk next time.
All right, dear. Be safe. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll be loving you always, yeah, with a heart that's true, talking about always, yeah. When the things you plan need a helping hand, I will understand. Always, always, things may not be fair, baby, always, but you'll find me there, always. No, not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year, I say always.
This podcast was recorded with Maureen Taylor in Detroit, Bob Ostertag in San Francisco, and mixed by Julia Reedy in Berlin. The introductory trumpet fanfare was performed by Brad Hinkle, and we ended with Alberta Hunter singing the Irving Berlin classic, Always.